Welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I'm your host, Jenna Josephowski, but you can call me Jenna J. I'm a semi-retired professional dancer, dance teacher, and yoga teacher turned certified personal trainer and kettlebell instructor who helps active women learn to lift and get strong with equal parts challenge and compassion. After years of working in the fitness industry, I got sick and tired of watching people, including myself, run themselves into the ground trying to uphold the narrow-minded image of what our culture sees as healthy and fit. But instead of giving it all up, I decided that I'd rather change the game. Call out the BS, extract the good, and help others learn to use movement as a way to build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. On this podcast, we'll explore the intersection of fitness and anti-diet culture and all the gray areas in between. We'll let go of shoulds and judgments and dig into tough conversations with curiosity. Things get pretty spicy around here, so grab your headphones and let's do this. Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. Today we are trying something a little bit different. I am doing a bonus slash spinoff slash collab episode, or rather series of episodes. There are going to be a few of these until we are tired of them, with my good friend Christina Montalvo. If you're not familiar with Christina, she is a fellow like-minded coach who is also the host of the Confidence Project podcast. And lately we've been having a lot of really good conversations that we felt like you, our listeners, would really appreciate and enjoy about some things that don't necessarily relate to the things that we help clients with. So just something fun. I don't know how this is going to go. It is super candid. We're going to have a good time and do this for as many times as we enjoy doing it, for as long as we feel like doing it. So enjoy these little bonus episodes. I'm planning on inserting them in between my own biweekly episodes. So without further ado, let's go talk to Christina. It's going to be a good time.
Awkward. All right, here we go. We're just going to record. What do I say? Hi, Jenna?
Yeah.
Hi, Jenna.
You're sitting in my house.
I'm sitting in your house.
It's kind of surreal. Is it weird?
All the things that I've seen on Instagram have come to life, really? Like this beautiful photo montage that you have with the lovely gold frames and the gray bookshelves. Are they gray?
It's like, that's why I love the bookshelf so much. It's like, is it gray? Is it brown? Is it green? It's called Urban Bronze.
Yeah, it's very surreal.
You saw like all everything coming to life, I guess, slowly on the internet.
I go from point A to point B, so it's delightful to be here.
Funny. Why are you here today, Jenna?
I'm here because we're doing a crossover episode for our podcast, and we just have some stuff to talk about that's, I guess, not what we would normally talk about on our own podcast, but I think it's stuff that a lot of people are going to find really relatable.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's been happening to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's all these conversations that I want to have that don't necessarily fit into the theme of my podcast. And so I texted you, when did I first, was it a couple months ago? Like the initial
It was
one?
A couple of months ago. It was so random.
Was you're it like, random?
You're like, I just have this idea. And then you just sent me some stuff to think about. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, this could be really fun. And then we just started brainstorming ideas, and like a week ago, we just got into this like shitstorm of texting where we're like, and what about this? And what about this? So
yeah,
we're going to kick it off today, and we're talking about friendship, adult friendships.
We are talking about adult friendships. And I said to you that this was the first episode I wanted to record because I even think some of our like people in our audience and our listeners maybe already know that we have a unique dynamic. Like we started first, like I consider you a friend of mine, but we started in a strictly professional, like mentor, mentee role,
right?
Several years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been so interesting for me as, I hate calling myself a business coach, I think it's so cringy, but as like people's like business mentor, it's been so interesting to watch our professional relationship continue to grow while I feel simultaneously growing a friendship.
Yes.
Agreed. And like, I think it happened in a unique order.
Yeah.
Like the professional part happened before we were like friends, I would say.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And it's almost like, I think the nature of our coaching relationship, especially when it came about, I was going through a lot of like unique shit in my life and then the collective like shit of the world. Like I remember shortly after you helped me through my first launch, my husband had lost his job. Oh, I forgot. And so I was dealing with that. And then there was like the COVID lockdown stuff. There was the like me quitting of a job that I had had for a long time. There was me getting pregnant. And you were actually the first person that I told I was pregnant outside of my husband.
That's right.
And it was one of those things where it's like when you have that kind of business coaching relationship mm-hmm. and we're talking about stuff that I'm working on in my business. And I'm like, okay, I didn't get to that this week because shit hit the fan. So I think you got kind of by default this like really personal lens of my life mm-hmm. that not a lot of people understood, but like I couldn't not tell you mm-hmm. some of those things.
I have to say that our coaching relationship has helped to shape, it's been part of what's helped shape the type of coaching relationship that I want to have with all of my clients. And of course that's going to happen, I think, in different degrees, but, and you know this as a fitness professional,
right?
It's really hard to help your clients when you don't know what's going on outside of fitness, for example.
Right.
Like it's really hard to, it's not impossible. We do it all the time. We can help clients that we hardly know anything about, but don't you feel like you're a quote unquote better coach to the clients who have a little bit more life context?
Yes.
With
100%, because then you understand, because you know, I talk a lot about like fitness advice not applying to you. Mm-hmm. And if I have a little bit more context about what's going on in your life, in fact, we were just talking about something that I was trying with one of my virtual clients mm-hmm. who's going through some life shit right now. And it's like, if we don't have that context and the ability to share those things, I would be asking her to do all sorts of generic shit that might work for somebody else, but not within the context of her personal life right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that personal aspect, and that's why they call it personal training.
Yeah.
Right? Like truly. Bringing that personal stuff back into it. And I think it's that's why I always compare business coaching to fitness coaching, because it's a human helping or guiding and supporting another human,
right?
Even though it's different. And so I feel that in the ways that we've built trust over the years in our professional relationship, it's helped me help you. Like
yeah.
when, like if I didn't know that you were pregnant at the time, I'm sure I still could have given you some sort of business support, but it probably would have been like, it wouldn't have landed.
No. And I think it would have been laced with like guilt and shame mm. almost. On my end, thinking to myself, like, oh, well, Christina doesn't know I'm pregnant and I can't tell her. And so I can't do this thing that she asked me to do this week. And it's not done by the time I said I was going to get it done because I was just nauseous every day. And like, she's going to think I'm shitty. And then that's, I think, where a lot of people as the mm-hmm. client just like crawl into a hole of shame and are afraid to reach out. But that's never been my style.
Yeah. We were talking before we hit record on... Because I feel like there's a very specific reasons why we're able to balance both of these roles for one another. What's your take on that? Like, how do we balance mentor, mentee, and also the friendship?
So I think that it works with us because I also have the unique experience of being a coach myself. And I'm sure like as a business coach, you probably coach people that do things that are not related to coaching. Maybe they're, mm-hmm. you know, have a brick and mortar business, they're selling products, stuff like that. But I think when you are a coach yourself and you have those client relationships, I understand what it's like because I am friendly with a lot of my clients and I've had to learn the hard way. In the past, when you get a little too friendly and somebody's on a texting basis with you and all of a sudden it's like 10 o'clock on a Saturday night and they're texting you stuff that it's like okay, I'm like overwhelmed. Can we like save this for our next call or whatever? But mm-hmm. because you're friendly, they kind of like, I don't know, hop on over into a place that maybe they're not meant to be in your life. And I know what that feels like. So I try very hard to be like, I mean, I don't have to try hard. I just don't mm-hmm. like... I'm not going to text you about like business related shit mm-hmm. at like 10 o'clock on a Saturday mm-hmm. night. Like that's not what we do. And I think that there needs to be almost like an understanding of what is appropriate in what setting, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And like when we talk about certain things and when we don't, like last week we went out for lunch and we talked mm-hmm. about all sorts of stuff. And mm-hmm. we didn't talk about business stuff there.
You're right.
We could have, but we didn't.
Yeah.
Because that's not what lunch is for.
Yeah. Right. And yeah. So I'll give you an example. Like this has happened to me over the years. I too develop quite often like very friendly personal relationships with my clients. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, when it starts to go sour or when I start to feel like resentment or like, oh, this isn't feeling great for me, right, is like exactly what you said. A client will text you work-related questions outside of the predetermined container. Like, everything starts to get really muddy. And so mm-hmm. I think I was just explaining this to Mike the other day, like how this works between you and yeah. I. And like, and I love it. It's to me, it feels very easy to manage. You send me your business stuff in emails mm-hmm. and we've never even like agreed on this. It wasn't like only text me if it's friendship, but like, I think because of the work that you do, this is why it happens. You know, you email me your business related stuff. We text each other friend related stuff. And so there's kind of this clear line. Like, I know when Jenna's in my inbox, I'm showing up with this specific role. And when you're showing up in text messages, vice versa, like, that's just friends stuff.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And like, when we set up lunches or coffee dates or walks or whatever, that's happening on a text message. So in my mind, I feel like we both just know, like, of course, we've like vented about business and stuff also, but right. I'm not like actively supporting you as a mentor when we're like going out for coffee.
Right.
You know?
Right. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. So I don't know. I think it takes, and here's another thing, and I've learned a good part of this from you, but I think I've also learned it just from watching other people I know. Like, I'm thinking of my boss at one of the dance studios that I work at and how she's very good at setting clear boundaries. Like, if I ask her, like, walk into her office and I'm like, can I talk to you about something? And she'll be like typing on her stuff and she'll be like, I'm in the middle of something, but can I talk to you in 20 minutes? Or can we set up a time to talk about this on Thursday or whatever? And at first, I think I experienced that as her being like, I don't know what the word is, kind of like abrasive. Mm. I think like when I was younger, and then I started to realize as I got more people doing that to me when I was in more of a leadership role, like, oh, she's just like preserving her peace. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I appreciate that. And I think I did learn a lot about that from you as well as a business owner. So I don't know where I'm going with that, but.
Well, go back. So this I think is a perfect segue. Because we want to continue talking about like adult friendships. It sounds like what you said was that you had a different perspective when you were younger on someone having boundaries.
Yes.
So you would have perceived that differently.
Yes.
Tell me more. And like, how has that shown up in your other friendships maybe?
Well, I think I would have perceived it as, I don't know if I want to use the word rude.
Like cold, maybe?
Yeah, cold. That's exactly the word. I would have perceived it as cold. Be like, oh, she wasn't very nice to me or whatever. But I think that was before I had the life experience of having a bunch of people that you're taking care of that need things from you and that need support from you. And at some point you need to cut that off, especially when you're a business owner and you work for yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could literally work 24/7 if you wanted to. So at some point, because there's not that physical boundary of going in and out of an office, you need to maintain that. And I think I learned it more as a business owner, but I think I also learned it later as, you know, even as a dance teacher. I can think about, because, you know, going back to the same boss, like the best piece of advice that she ever gave me is never give your personal phone number out to a parent.
Fascinating.
Yes. And like that was in a way when I was a younger teacher, her showing me because I would have been, and I think I'm very like friendly and open and assume the best of people. Like, sure, I'm happy to give you my phone number, but I had yet to see when that goes awry, whether that's the moment that a parent calls you at 7 a.m. complaining that their child didn't get moved up to Jazz 9.
Did that happen?
Not to me, but it happened to my boss at one point.
Yeah.
And so I think until you experience those moments, or when I remember specifically a story you talking about a client texting you about what kind of yogurt to buy.
7 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah. I think until you experience that, you don't understand.
You're exactly right.
Why those kind of boundaries need to be set.
I've never thought about it that way. Like, maybe we do just need to feel trampled on in a specific area before we're like, there needs to be a line there.
Right.
Like you said about your boss, like protecting your peace. Mm-hmm. I think that's what a boundary
is. 100%. So I don't know. I mean, that's why I think it works. Why do you think it works?
I think that because of boundaries. I think everything kind of has its place. Like in my mind, again, it's like emails is for this. And like the lines of communication and the expectations of what goes where, I think, is clear. So yeah. I always know what role I'm quote unquote like supposed to show up in. Like,
yeah,
not that I feel like I'm a completely different person when I'm acting as a coach or a mentor or a friend, but when I'm showing up as a friend, I'm much more likely to be like, wow, that fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily helpful in a coaching space. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can commiserate on this too. Like sometimes, and this isn't against you, but some clients, I feel like if we commiserate too much, we don't make any progress.
Yes.
Like some clients just want to vent. Mm-hmm. And that is a really hard place to make progress from.
Well,
so
that's
like,
also not the best use of your coaching time.
Correct.
Because
exactly.
you can vent to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like anybody can be a container for your whatever feels you're having. But like when you're with a coach who has expertise to help you move from point A to point B, you can't spend too much time mm-hmm. in that venting. I do think there needs to be an acknowledgement of it.
Yeah.
But to spiral in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I show up differently. And so that helps me know kind of what role I'm playing and how can I be either a good mentor or a good friend to you, which is a little bit different. Like those aren't the exact same hats that I would say. The other thing too is I do think that as you've come farther along in your entrepreneurship journey, that is another reason why we can be friends, because there's an added layer of like, you just get it.
Yes.
That I think has contributed to the friendship also.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because we're dealing with, you know, potentially like similar problems mm-hmm. in our own businesses, maybe in a different way. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, yesterday we were like wearing the business hat and mm-hmm. we were talking about clients and how they act in an online group program mm-hmm. and like whether they're your clients or my clients, humans are gonna human.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's almost exactly what my response was. Yeah. Like, humans gonna human.
Yeah, that's just how people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. And so that's, yeah. And you know what? To answer your question about have I had friends in my personal life bump up against that? Not necessarily. But I don't know, and maybe we can get into this a little bit, like the different kinds of adult friendships mm-hmm. we have. I feel like some of my closest adult friends, I don't know, they just understand because we're like aligned on that deeper value. And I think somebody had mentioned this on your Instagram because mm-hmm. we were also talking about that because you had like a story or something where you were asking people's opinion about adult friendships. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like not having space for surface level friendships, mm-hmm. I think was a thing. And I was thinking about this on the drive over. I don't have space for surface level friendships other than, I mean, maybe we can meet for coffee, like mm-hmm. maybe. But even that, I think about how much free time I have, especially now that I have a toddler. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working during the week. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that's like when my childcare during the week is existing, is when I have to go to work. And then on the weekends, I don't want to go out both nights. Like right. I don't want to be scheduled the whole weekend. I want to have like at least one chill night. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to have that many plans. And I'm like pretty extroverted. I mm-hmm. like plans, but like, I don't know. I don't want to plan two things.
Right. Right. So what Jenna mentioned, before we even solidified that we were going to be doing this, I went to my Instagram stories kind of in an attempt to like what we were saying earlier. I was like, I want to have different, like a whole bunch of different types of conversations on the show. Mm-hmm. So for those listening that maybe don't follow me or miss this, I had it's like a week and a half long of different polls and stories and like things that people were sending in on Instagram all about friendships. And we decided to record on it instead of me doing a solo episode. So we have notes in front of us that like summarized what at least people in my audience sent in about their friendships. But what's funny, Jenna, is I think you were one of maybe two people. on one of the polls. Do you remember? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Am I the only person that, like, has a lot of friends as an adult?
So it's not even, the question wasn't, like, do you have a lot of friends? It was, like, do you find that this is, do you find that navigating friendships in adulthood is challenging? It was you and one other random person, I have no idea who it is, that said, nope, no problem. And then 97%, which I think was, like, over 100 people were like, yes, I struggle with this. Me being one of those people. So I thought this would be a perfect conversation to talk about.
I also feel like I'm a little bit weird in that sense.
Okay.
Number one, and I'm not sure how you were like when you were younger, and we could get into a whole conversation about, like, the patriarchal bullshit that exists around this, but I can remember, you know, being out with my friends, and I had a very close group of girlfriends when I was in high school. There were six of us. We were called the Schnicks, but we weren't like a clique, meaning, like, we weren't, like, popular or particularly cool. I actually, like, hated everyone else at my high school except for, like, the six of us.
Yeah.
But I had really close girlfriends, and I never understood other girls who were like, oh, I don't like other girls. They're too much drama. Mm. I've always had a lot of girlfriends.
And I feel like here's what makes me think why. Tell me if this is true.
Okay.
I feel like you're, what I've learned through our friendship about your, I think your mom is also that way.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I think that's part of it. Tell me more.
Couple of experiences with that. First of all, I grew up, like, hanging out with my mom's friends. My mom has a core group of friends that she's been friends with forever. She was actually just visiting this weekend, and we had a conversation about how for her 40th birthday, her and her best friends all went to Vegas and how pissed my grandma was.
Oh, I love that.
But I remember thinking it was just, like, the coolest thing. Like, I was just used to my mom going out with her friends and, like, having her friends over and, like, sitting around the kitchen table and drinking and cackling and mm-hmm. and whatever. And then one of the best lessons my mom ever taught me when I had my first boyfriend in high school was she basically, like, made me hang out with my friends. Mm-hmm. When I wanted to do everything with my boyfriend all the time, she's like, nope. She's like, you went out with him last night. You're going to do something with your friends tonight.
Mm-hmm.
When that would have not been my inclination as a young person. But then when he broke up with me, I was so glad she made me do mm-hmm. that. And I kind of, like, made this promise to myself that I would never, like, ditch my friends for a guy ever again.
So that was something that people sent in. So I only summarized here what was sent in multiple times.
Okay.
So someone said, multiple people said, friendships evolving or dissolving because of romantic relationships. Example, friend finds a boyfriend and disappears.
Mm. It's because their mama didn't teach them better.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't know. What was your experience around that and dating when you were younger?
So my family was different, and I think this is important. I love that we had different childhoods. My family had to work a lot. We mm-hmm. came from a very, like, low socioeconomic status. So there wasn't a lot of time for leisure in either of my parents' lives. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. Something that I can only see now as an adult is that my mom's life changed a lot more in response to motherhood than my dad's. Mm. So my dad maintained a lot more of a social life than my mother did. So it wasn't modeled for me.
Yeah.
Friendships.
Yeah.
And it's something in my adult life now, I'm like, oh, fuck. Female friendships are vital, I feel, in adulthood. And 100%. I have a lot of feelings and a lot of thoughts on, like, why this stuff happens. So friendships for me in high school, I was never a part of a clique at all. I was actually more so, like, I had friends from every clique.
Okay.
So, like, I had a friend who was a cheerleader. I had a friend who was a dancer. I had a friend who was, like, a drug addict. I had a friend who was that. Like, you name it. And I was just in the middle of, like,
sure,
those things.
Yeah.
And then, of course, gosh, we could go down a whole rabbit hole.
Maybe a whole other
high school. But, I never struggled with the boyfriend and, like, friend thing. For me, I was like, oh, like, I'm hanging out with my friends. I would ask the boyfriend, like, do you want to come with us? Yes or no? Like, or vice versa. But I distinctly remember, and even to this day, I get super fucking triggered when someone is doing, like, what you were saying, like, choosing their boyfriend or their significant other over a friendship. It happens less now because we're all older.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been that way, though, to, like, only see my boyfriend. Because I've been on the other side of that. And yeah. I think that's what a lot of people were saying. Like, it can be painful, I think, at any age when someone's always prioritizing their romantic endeavors over friendships. Like, I think both of those arenas need to be nurtured.
Yes. And I think, like, as a society, and I'm sure you have thoughts on this, you know, people celebrate, like, marriage mm-hmm. as the most important thing. And we, a lot of times, I think, put so much expectation on a romantic partner to be, like, the end-all be-all, like, the soulmate and the rock and, like, all of these big mm-hmm. things. And I just don't think that one person can fulfill that many needs.
I agree.
For a relationship, I mean, they can do a lot, but I don't know why we view that as, like, the most important relationship. I think we also, too, like, take a lot of time to nurture those kind of romantic relationships, mm-hmm. but not necessarily put the same effort into friendships or assume our friends will always be there, especially if they have been there for a long time.
Yeah. I think what's so interesting to that point, like, and I was listening to something on Glennon Doyle's podcast, and they were talking about, you listened to Glennon's
yeah,
podcast,
I do.
Right? Did mm-hmm. you hear the one about friendships where they were saying that, like, friendships are really hard to monetize? So therefore, like, the reason why there's more pressure on marriage and romantic relationships is because it's easier to monetize. Mm. We have, weddings are really expensive.
Yep.
Like, don't even get me started. With, like, bridal culture.
Yep.
That's a whole
separate episode. That's a whole podcast.
Valentine's Day, like, there's money to be made in prioritizing romantic relationships yeah. over female friendships because there's no holiday, there's no greeting card, there's no expectation. So I thought that was an interesting perspective. Yeah. But also, even as someone who scrolls on Instagram, you can find endless amounts of accounts, rightfully so, that's like, communicate with your partner and say these things with your partner. But we need that same amount of communication with our friendships too. Like, I think we're expected that, like, friendships just naturally, like, I don't know.
Like, just naturally occur, or that they should be, like, more organically occurring, or that if you have to put effort into them, that it's, like, that there's something wrong, or that, like, you're not likable. But, like, here's the thing. And I was listening to a podcast, and for the life of me, I cannot remember what podcast it was. I don't think it was Glennon's. But somebody was talking about when it comes to, like, platonic relationships or friendships. Shit, I just lost my train of thought. What did you say right before then?
Because I couldn't finish my thought either. Like, I think there's so much more emphasis on how to nurture a marriage versus a friendship. So if we feel like we have to put in work or whatever in a friendship, we think we're doing it wrong.
Okay, I know what it was now.
Yeah.
It was when we think about, like, the friends that we made as kids, mm-hmm. a lot of those relationships did happen organically because you were in a space, for example, school, mm-hmm. where you were with the same people day in, day out for a long period of time, and by default, just by sitting next to somebody in class mm-hmm. or having to do group projects with them or, like, being in gym class with them or whatever, friendships just developed because you were forced to be in the same place together mm-hmm. every day. And I even think about some of my adult friendships that are probably, like, the longest withstanding that happened when I first moved to Chicago and I was dancing professionally. And we were in the same dance company.
Okay.
And so we were, like, not just, like, rehearsing together often, but we were also, like, up in each other's business, like, lifting each other, partnering mm-hmm. each other, mm-hmm. stuff like that. You almost develop this closeness mm-hmm. that you don't get in other ways. And then, especially when you're an entrepreneur and you're not, like, working in an office or making work friends, you're even more isolated. And so that effort is ever more important. And I think even if you're not an entrepreneur and if you're working in a normal job, you're not necessarily in an environment where you're with people who have the same values as you mm-hmm. or are even in the same place in their life in the same way where, like, when you're in middle school, like, you don't, your values aren't even, like, developed mm-hmm. at that point and you're just all going through the same shit. Mm-hmm. So everyone in that container is very relatable. where, you know, when I think about my experience as a dancer, mm-hmm. we were all like starving artists, mm-hmm. you know, who had just moved in the city, going through like a very relatable life experience. But then you throw yourself into an office and you've got, you know, like Jan in PR and Bob in accounting, and then there's you.
And you know see I mean? Them every day. So I think like something I just saw on the internet, and I think it's so true. I think people will say like, oh, my friends, and it's really just your coworkers.
Yeah.
And the way I think that we define friendships, like for me, I take the word friend very seriously. Mm. I don't actually consider a lot of people friends, and I literally will say like my acquaintance. Mm. Whereas I think other people, anyone that they know is their friend.
I'm that person.
You are that person?
Like, everyone is friends. But, like, to be fair, there aren't enough words to, like, encompass. Like, there's one word for friend. And, like, everybody that is platonic kind of, like, falls into that box, or they're an acquaintance. But there aren't enough words to describe, like, the different kinds of friends. And maybe we can talk about that a little, because I was thinking about one thing that I actually do struggle with in adult friendships. Is reaching out when I'm struggling.
Mm, me too.
I have, and it's funny because like I never call you to like cry about shit. Like if we have a lunch date, like I'll complain about it. But like when I'm having a meltdown, I don't call you. But like if you called me having a meltdown, I would happily receive
that.
Oh,
same.
Okay. Good to know.
Same.
But
same.
Like I think about that and it's interesting. And I think that's one of my biggest struggles because I do have some people that I would consider very good friends, and we do like share a lot of the same values and have like deeper conversations when we have planned to go to dinner or go on a walk or something like that. But like, do I call them when I'm crying? No, I call my sister and I call my best friend from high school who I feel like has like witnessed so many of those meltdowns for me, and the same, we've almost like built up that rapport over the years and like reciprocal relationship. I think when you're older and you haven't done that with somebody, like you don't want to be the first one to call them like,
And that's exactly, I think, what it takes though. It's like you have to test the waters of like, can this person hold it down for me when I'm a mess? I am not a reacher outer when I'm struggling, period.
Mm, okay.
Like I will go through that on my own, and I'm the kind of person that will be like, so last year was really hard for me, and I like will not have necessarily have updated anybody on that, which is a me thing. Like that I think has more to do with just that's more of a me thing versus like a friend thing. But tell us more about the different like types of friends. So you have like, would you say like your meltdown friends, where that's like your inner circle, would you say?
And what's interesting is like my meltdown friends, I don't necessarily see them that often anymore. Like I think about, you know, my one best friend from high school, who I've probably seen her like three times in the last 10 years. But like I've had so many phone conversations with her and know like all of these like deep inner workings of her life because we have that strong foundation. Mm-hmm. And the other person that I tend to call for a meltdown is one of my friends that I was in a dance company with for a long time. And I still think I have her 30th birthday card in my nightstand, even though her 30th birthday was like 5 years ago. And it's not because I haven't seen her since then, but like, it's like I maybe saw her like a couple of times since then, but we still have that kind of connection. Mm-hmm. And so there's those people. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a smaller circle, I would say maybe like 3 to 4 people that are not surface level friendships that I make an effort to make social plans with regularly. And this is where I think the not having time for surface level friendships comes into play, because back to the idea of I don't want to plan 2 things in a weekend. So it's like if there's 4 weekends in a month and like one of those weekends, me and Eric are going to have a date night. Mm-hmm. And one of those weekends, we have a family thing going on. That leaves time for 2 of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless you have a non-traditional work schedule like me and we can get together on a on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, the surface level friendship thing, I think you're exactly right. For me, it's like my free time is very valuable and precious to me. And I find surface level friendships to be very draining.
Yes.
So if there's an inconvenience, so let me back up actually. What I've been learning the past 3 years, I'd say definitely since the pandemic, is that friendships that are worth cultivating are worth the minor inconvenience of, like, the long drive, potentially. Yes. Like, that, like, especially since we've moved, I'd say most of my closest people are probably, like, at least an hour away. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not just, like, a quick, easy, like, last-minute thing.
Right.
But those friendships are worth the inconvenience because mm-hmm. I'm getting back more than whatever effort it takes to put out there.
Right.
With surface level friendships, for me personally, it's not worth the inconvenience. And surface level friendships for me are very draining. And I think if we had to define surface level friendships, like, I think one thing that's coming up for me is, like, people that just want to get together to gossip. Mm. Like, have you had that? Like, I've had to let a lot of those friendships go once I realized that all they wanted to do, all we were doing was, like, talking shit about other people. Mm. And that is, like, I don't want to do that.
I don't think I've had so much of that experience. I think I've had more surface level friendships with people that I work with. Mm. I think specifically, like, people that I used to teach yoga with, because there were a lot of people that I really connected with that were, like, fellow teachers or people that used to take my class every single week. And there would be, like, the, oh, we should go get coffee. Mm-hmm. And then I would find myself looking at my schedule, trying to figure out when we could get together. And thinking about, like, you know, when you get to the moment where you're like, oh, like, I could go get coffee with her, or I could sleep in. Yeah. And you're, like, choosing sleep in, or you're finding, like that exactly, like, minor inconvenience of, like, getting up in the morning doesn't really drive you to want to make plans with that person.
Right.
Then you're just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
And you let it go. And I also think, and I don't know if you've experienced with this, as being somebody who's, like, you're very vocal mm-hmm. about your opinions on the internet, mm-hmm. as am I. And I think as a result of that, we have created, like, online community and even mm-hmm. like internet friends mm-hmm. and internet friendships that are probably a whole hell of a lot deeper because we share those values and you can kind of just, like, cut out of the small talk or the gossip or whatever, and you know you're on the same page. And sometimes I feel like with certain people where you have those surface level friendships, like, I can't fully be myself, or I have to censor myself a little bit or bite my tongue mm-hmm. because I don't know how to I don't know how to not cause a fight. Like, mm. if that makes sense, like, if, you know, and I'll give an example, like, we had some people over a couple of weeks ago, and somebody was making some commentary about, like, transgender stuff that was happening in schools. Mm-hmm. And she was incredibly misinformed. Mm. And she wasn't even talking to me. She was talking to somebody else in the room, but I overheard it. And I was getting, like, my heart was beating out of my mm-hmm. chest. And at one point, I just lost every sense of coherent, like, thought or argument that I had. And it was either I step outside and put the pizza box in my trash, or me being like, you're a dumb bitch. Like,
so what did you choose, Jenna?
I took the pizza box out. And I'm sorry to say that. But
no,
like
you got to do what you got to do.
Sometimes I just don't know. I think I get so, like, emotionally charged about mm-hmm. it.
Me too.
Which is why I think having, like, an online space is helpful, to where then I can come back later, collect my thoughts, make some notes, record a podcast episode, make an Instagram post, like, where mm-hmm. I've had time to think my thoughts through mm-hmm. before I just completely get heated and lose my shit on somebody.
So, like, the online relationship thing is so interesting, and I think it's so funny because growing up, it's like, don't talk to strangers on the internet. Don't talk to strangers on the internet. And then last summer, me and a bunch of strangers from the internet went to North Carolina together. You know them. Yeah. Like, Mel was there. Right. Julie, Dottie, Hannah, Kate Zanoni was there. They were all clients of mine. So mm-hmm. that was – someone in my life was like, is this safe? And I'm like, they're all – like, at that point, they had been my clients for, I think, maybe – it was over a year. I think we were working together for like 16, maybe yeah. 18 months. But to your point, it was such, and then we went on, I call it a business retreat, but it wasn't that. We just went mm-hmm. to the mountains to hang out. It was 0% awkward. It was so easy because we already knew, because of what we share in the online space, like, it's a vetting tool. Yes. I knew that everyone there was, no one's a Trumper. That's a hard line in the sand. Like, I'm not going to the freaking mountain stuck in a cabin with your Trump
ass. Have you lost any friendships to that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, friendship is too strong of a word, though. Remember, I don't call everyone friendships. Right. I have lost dozens of, like, acquaintances. Yeah. Like, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
Dead to me.
Now, what's interesting is I feel like I did not have any current people in my life that fell into that category, but I have people that I have drifted away from over the years, and maybe when we get into a talk about, like, I have some ex-boyfriends.
That's what you were saying.
That, like, oh my God, like, that would have ended poorly.
I learned a lot about where I deepened my understanding of my values with the people in my life in response to 2020. That to me was like a huge, I'm not gonna even call it a wake-up call. To me, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, if we cannot even agree on what I feel to be very important topics, it's not even just, and I know that you know what I'm saying. It's not that, like, I can only be friends with people that agree with me on everything, but there's a value system there.
Yes, 100%.
So 2020 helped me kind of recalibrate my own values and then go, going back to surface level things, these are just some values that I can't compromise on. Like, I don't want to take the time to inconvenience myself to nurture this friendship if you are actively going out and voting against my best interests.
Well, and I also feel like there's the, like, another flavor of the same shit sandwich component, which we talk about, like, for example, if you don't understand that, like, white supremacy is a thing that feeds into a lot of what's happening in the world, and you don't see that, then you're not also going to be, like, aware enough to understand how things like that are just another flavor of other things that affect me personally. Like, I might be a white woman, but, like, diet culture is rooted in white supremacy. And so when I'm pushing back against, you know, like, the diet industry and, like, bullshit in the fitness industry, if you're not even, like, I don't even need you to understand the depth of it. I just need you to, like, not be supporting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just need you to, like, not be arguing in favor of it because you're not aware, because people are just so oblivious. I can remember at that point even getting into, and I talked to my mom about this a lot, people, because my parents live in Ohio, and there are a lot more Trumpy people in Ohio, and a lot more people that my parents have to encounter, even though they're very much not like that. And I remember talking to my mom about somebody that, you know, she ran in the same circles with. And I was like, how is she voting for him? Because, like, one of my mom's best friends is a lesbian. And it's like, she's voting against her. How does she not see that? Like, how does she go out to dinner with her and pretend it's fine and then vote against that?
Right.
But, like, people don't see. It just feels like, and it's not even me, but to me, it just feels like a stab. I don't know if it's a stab in the heart or a stab in the back, but, like,
it's both. Yeah.
It's both. It's hurtful.
And for me, something I've always said is, like, for my, I feel the same way about the work that I do with my clients. Like, if you're my friend, if I'm calling you my friend out in the world again, if I'm wasting, not wasting, if I am taking time and energy and resources to nurture this friendship, I want to make sure that you're the kind of person that I can invite into my home, which for me meant for many years, like, my dad is, both my parents are immigrants. My mom's 100% Mexican. My dad's 100% Puerto Rican. Can I invite you into my childhood home? And will you make my parents feel uncomfortable because you are racist or you are classist or whatever? And that has been one of my biggest kind of, like, vetting tools as I navigate people in the world. I don't obviously live with my parents anymore, but that's a value that's so important to me. Like, I just don't even want to have to take the time to nurture friendships where, again, like, you're going out into the world and you're voting against me or my family's best interest or anyone who's marginalized. Like, that to me is now, since 2020, that's a prerequisite to being in my life.
Yeah.
Period. Like, I just don't, you can, of course, be on the periphery of my life. I definitely have some, through no choice of my own, people in the periphery of my life that are Republicans and, like, whatever that would, what is that called? Second Amendment enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. And they are in the farthest periphery of my life as possible because I don't want to... I don't want to spend time with you.
Like, right, and it doesn't feel safe to let them in.
It doesn't.
It doesn't feel safe to let them in.
It doesn't. Because we're going to disagree on so many other things, I think, if our core values are that unaligned.
Yes. And there's going to be, like little microaggressions mm-hmm. that come up. Like, I even remember we had people over for the Super Bowl. And when people were trying to figure out if Rihanna was pregnant or not, and like some people were making comments about her body, like trying to figure out, like, and I'm like, again, getting so heated, and I'm like, I don't want to say I'm like triggered by it because I think that's like an exaggeration and I'm not trying to like overuse that word, but I was activated, if you will, around that. And they don't think they're doing anything wrong. And then what's worse is when you're like irritated about it and then you do decide to say something, I mean, why is Jenna such a buzzkill? Yeah. Take the fun out of everything.
Totally.
It's just a halftime show.
I want to look
just
at...
Just joking.
Oh, God. I hate the just joking thing. I want to look at some of the other things here. So balance... I know we kind of touched on this, but balancing entrepreneurship and friendship was really hard for me at the beginning of my career. I think anyone who's listening, whether or not you consider yourself an entrepreneur, like there does just have to be some sort of basis of like understanding, whether it's like your lifestyle, like how you work, the lifestyle. I don't know if this happened to you. Maybe it's because I started my business like literally within 6 months of graduating from college. I actually lost a lot of friends.
Did you?
That way. I think there was a lot of like, there was jealousy, I think. Like, who does she think she is? And that was really uncomfortable for me. Mm. So, like, those friendships ended. Something else that's on here, though, is balancing motherhood and friendships. Has that been hard for you?
It hasn't, but only because I feel like I, on the flip side, like, you talk about starting your business earlier. Mm. I had JJ when I was I 37? Mm. When I had him, I was much older, and I watched everybody around me just kind of do that. And I think I was also on the receiving end of people having a kid and not having time for me anymore. And I never wanted to, number one, do that to my friends. Mm-hmm. But number two, I never wanted to be like that because I'm like, you're boring. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know. I think I was a little bit different because I was very aware after watching other people make that mistake that I didn't want to be that person. And I was also very clear with Eric about the fact that, you know, because we were on the fence about kids for a while. I was like, if we have kids, I need you to be cool with me going out and having a girls' night. I need you to be cool with me having a girls' trip. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all important to me. And he was like, okay. And so I think that was kind of baked into the expectation in the beginning. And like when you talk about your mom's life changing a lot and your dad's not so much, I think for a lot of people of previous generations, when there were more, I guess, like traditional norms around that kind of stuff and not that many people doing things in different ways, we almost didn't know to ask for it. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is true if you don't have other examples of that in your life, people doing it successfully, you're not on the receiving end of somebody doing that. So, I mean, it's challenging in the sense that I have less time now, but I do still try to make that time. And I think like my friends are also understanding of that for the most part. I don't know. This person also said, talking about like resenting a partner whose life hardly changed and has a social life. That's a little bit different in our house. I think there has been a lot of resentment for me, but I can't say that his life has hardly changed. Because I mean, our whole, like when I had JJ, it was like right smack in the middle of 2020.
Yeah.
So like everything changed. Like we also moved. So like that changed. I feel like we both just had so many life changes in general.
That's a good point.
It's hard to tell like what would have been and what would have been because everything just got shaken up like a snow globe. I feel resentful sometimes about housework which is something that we're working through.
Yes.
But like this person was talking about resenting maybe a partner who has a social life.
Mm.
That wasn't the case for us because I've always been the more social person. Mm. Like Eric is content to stay home and he has like a group chat, like a group text with his college friends, but like they live all over the place. So like he's on his group text and like once a month he has a friend over for WrestleMania or like mm-hmm. goes out with a coworker, but he's not the more social one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike is more of like a surface level social butterfly. Like okay. That would be what he does. I like deeper connections, more meaningful friendships. But it's interesting because, again, I think for you, it's so, like, what I'm envious of is that you did have that model from childhood of, like, your mom, and I didn't have that. And, again, in the wake of 2020, I'm like, oh, my God, I am going to potentially be, like, I could see the future of my life panning out with no friendships because I always prioritize work over that.
Mm.
And then because I closed my gym down, like, I'm like, oh, my God, I have all this free time. What do I want to spend doing it? And then I've just learned since then, like, wow, friendships are super important, I think, for all of us. Like, especially for women. Like, there is, an air of feminism there of, like, women need women. Like, we need each other. Like, there is this, like, sisterhood element.
Right.
Although I'm not like, Jenna's my sister. There is sisterhood.
And there's also that, like, sharing of things where, like, we will have a conversation, for example, about, like, what's going on with the housework.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing, like, number one, that's what's happening in my house is not unique because it's also happening in your house.
Right.
And then we can also, like, collectively call bullshit on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then on the flip side, also realizing, like, sometimes when we get stuck in these social norms and we don't have an example, but maybe you do have that friend who has a kid and is making time to go out with friends.
Totally.
Then you're like, oh, like, this can be normal and this can be a good thing and she's not a bad mom or whatever.
Totally. Yeah. The normalization part has been very important to me. Like, the things that I thought, I was like, this must be only happening to me, having more friendships. I'm like, oh, no, it's not me. Like, it's not a me problem.
Right. Yeah.
Which that I think is helpful.
Yeah, which I think is also hard when you're, like don't have a place to go where you can, like, vent about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then you just get stuck in it and, like, you think it's normal and okay, but it's not always normal.
Yeah. Do we have anything else we want to share on friendships?
I'm just looking at these notes right here. I'm reading this part about when friends don't step up to support you in times of need. I have a thought on that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious. I'd love to know the context of the person who who brought this one up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be so hard to ask for what you need. And I'm saying this from a place of, like, not asking for what I need. But I also think we can't, like, assume that other people know what we need. And I'm going to talk about this in, like, a relationship example. I got in a real bad habit, and this caused a lot of resentment with Eric, like, when JJ was first born, about feeling like I needed more help from him.
Mm-hmm.
But not telling him that I needed help and then just getting pissed that he wasn't reading my mind. Which, I mean, let's be honest, like, it's infuriating. But also, I do think that directness is helpful. I appreciate directness.
Yeah.
As opposed to, and it's so hard. And I'm not saying that, like, this person isn't asking for
help. It was multiple people.
Yeah.
That was the summary. I have stories on this too, and they'll have to be a separate episode because I do think communication is the key to all dynamics
100%,
across the board. I have had to let go of various friendships, again, especially since 2020, because I'm thinking of two specific friendships that have since dissolved where there was a chronic lack of reciprocity of support.
Yes.
And I was asking for support. So, like, I think to your point, like, if we're making assumptions or thinking that our friends can read our minds, like, of course they're not going to know when or how to step up because we have to be honest. I think on the flip side, too, and I wonder if this is what some of the people who wrote in were talking about, like, when you're always there for your friends and they're not necessarily there for you. That was a really sobering thing for me to realize in a lot of cases. It's hard.
What do you wish your friends would have done differently?
Reciprocated in any way. Again, at 2020, I tend to be like the go-to friend, and I'm working away from that. Like, people come to me when they need something, anything. You need help moving, Christina will help. You are having a problem in your friendship or like in your marriage, Christina can help me. And I was a resource. I noticed that that was really what I was considering to be a friendship. People were using me as a resource. Yeah. Because when I would say like, hey, I'm closing my gym down and I'm going to need some support over these next like 3 months. That's just one example, but it thinned the herd a lot.
Yeah.
Like some people just weren't friends that I felt that I had gone above and beyond for years and was just pouring into them or always there like supporting them when the tables turned as someone who doesn't reach out for help or support. Again, I have two specific people in mind, nowhere to be found, which was painful when it wasn't even like I am also busy with the pandemic or like whatever. There was just no proper communication.
Yeah.
And it was chronic too. It wasn't just like I asked one time and they said no one time. It was again, kind of between 2020 and 2022, like no reciprocity.
You know what that makes me think of? People who don't show up for like socially important things. For me, I'm actually considering this right now, to be honest. Super vulnerable moment here. Ready? Here we go. So I'm turning 40 next year. I would love to have...
Not this year.
December, like the, like
2024.
Yeah, 2023.
So you're turning this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
In December.
Okay.
I would love to have like a big 40th birthday party. There's this very cute space that's like right down the street from me. You can rent it for events. I love it. It's like a little small like art gallery. You can like BYOB. You can have like whatever food you want. I think it would be so fun. I'm afraid nobody will come to my birthday party.
Hold on, Jenna. This is why I don't invite people to do anything. Like, because I'm afraid nobody will come. I will come.
Okay.
I'll come to your party.
It'll be an expensive ass party because it's like $500 to rent the place for a night. So like, we're going to be like, I don't know.
Should we collect donations?
If you're listening to this and you
sponsor Jenna's birthday.
My God. But like, no, it's crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Because I think of the friends that I have and the few that I'm very sure that would come. And then also people that I wouldn't consider them surface level friendships, but maybe people that are just like a little bit further out from the core that I would love to come to my 40th birthday party. But I feel like they won't. And like, what's the point of like renting out a cute space for like five people? Like we could just come to my house.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think about that too in ways that that's been hurtful, like not having support when I've had a show, like as a professional dancer, I can remember, you know, performing, and inviting people and being really hurt by the people that didn't come to certain shows that were very important to me.
And did you communicate that they were important?
I don't know that I communicated that they were important. Like I asked them to come.
Yeah.
Like I invited them to the show. I said something to the effect of, I'm really excited about this and I hope you can make it. Here's where you can get tickets. And it's cool to see who shows up for you because sometimes it's like surprising people that you didn't think gave that much of a shit. But then sometimes it's just like, ouch.
Yeah.
You didn't come.
Right. Yeah. It's hard. We're going to have another episode on friendships
because I could just
go on forever.
We could.
I don't even know how to close this episode out.
I can think of what we can record a whole nother like separate segment on.
Let's hear it in this episode as we wind down.
Okay. Sorry. Well, talking about the friends that don't support you, I'd love to carry on and talk about like those hard to support friends who are making bad life decisions and emotionally dumping on you in that kind of way. And you just like, I don't want to overuse the word toxic, but like they've kind of become toxic. And then there's like friendships gone awry. I mean, I've got some horror stories that are kind of comical. Can that be episode number two?
Should that be episode number two?
I think that's episode number
two. So we're cutting this episode off?
Let's do it. I think we've hit all the super deep stuff.
All right, y'all. We'll catch you on the next episode.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with Christina as much as I did. As I mentioned before, I'm planning on sprinkling these in here and there in between my regular solo and guest episodes. So stay tuned for more. As always, make sure you leave a rating and review, especially if you have enjoyed these little bonuses. And be sure to check out Christina on social media and on her podcast as well. I will link to all of the above in the show notes. Thanks again for tuning into Tough Cookie Talks. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to learn more about me and how we can work together, visit my website, itsjennaj.com, or follow and tag me on Instagram, @itsjennaj. I would love to hear from you. If you liked this episode and want to hear more, make sure you click subscribe and follow along so that you don't miss a single show. Then, take a moment and leave me a 5-star rating and review so that we can help this podcast and this message reach even more people. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.